I think the next verse that we study will be among the most important of the Holy Spirit teachings. We have in the past learned that 1 Corinthians 12 is about spiritual gifts, and that will continue. But this is different than spiritual gifts alone. It's talking about one big change from the Old Testament Holy Spirit's ministry to the New Testament's Holy Spirit's ministry. The change happened at Pentecost. And everything after Acts chapter 2 that the Holy Spirit did is different than Old Testament times. Although a lot of people don't catch it. We do, but a lot of churches don't. But it's rather clear. It's 1 Corinthians 12, and we will read verse 13. For by one Spirit we were all baptized into one body, whether Jews or non-Jews, whether slaves or free, and we were all made to drink of one Spirit. All Christians have been placed sort of inside the Holy Spirit. He is around us. The way the early church artists did it, they'd put a halo around the person's head if they're a believer in the picture. And they're kind of like inside the Holy Spirit, inside the Holy Spirit's bubble. He is also within. So with saved people, we've trusted in Jesus as Savior. Verse 13, first part, He's around us everywhere we go. Second part, He's within us everywhere we go. Now, before Pentecost, we have an Old Testament way of worship, Old Testament ministry of the Holy Spirit, not the same as now. In the Old Testament, there were 900 years. And then there is a list of people in the Holy Spirit that in the Old Testament that have the Holy Spirit. Bezalel, who built the tabernacle. Moses, 70 elders. Joshua, Othniel, Gideon, Jephthah, Samson, Saul, David. Amaziah, who's a general. Azariah, Jehaziah, Zechariah, Ezekiel, Micah. Now, if you count the 70 elders on name, about 85 people had the Holy Spirit in the Old Testament that are listed. Certainly not all. Also, in the Holy Spirit in the Old Testament would come, and then He would leave. Samson told Delilah his strength was from the Nazarite vow, never cutting his hair. So she cut his hair. And the Philistines are upon you, she said. And then, quote, Judges 16:20, the Lord has departed from him. So the Holy Spirit would come upon Samson, Holy Spirit would go. There are others like this. We're studying Saul in the 9:15 service. In today's chapter 10, the Holy Spirit came upon him. But in chapter 16, verse 14, now the Spirit of the Lord departed from Saul. David was worried about the Holy Spirit leaving him. Psalm 51 is about confession of sin after Bathsheba. And Psalm 51:11, do not cast me away from your presence. Do not take your Holy Spirit from me. So in the Old Testament times, the Holy Spirit came upon a minority. Only a few. And he would come and go. Many people follow this pattern in their church services today. It's very, very common for a church service to kind of work on getting the Holy Spirit for people who are already saved. Well, it's rather clear here in verse 13 that all believers already have the Holy Spirit. We will talk a little bit more about sign gifts. Not as much. I think we've already done some. We'll do a little bit more. But sign gifts are rather easy to understand. This is totally clear. This is 100% easy, 100% clear. How many believers have the Holy Spirit? All of them. How many have been placed into the Holy Spirit like being dipped in water and He's around us everywhere we go? All of them. How many believers does the Holy Spirit indwell? All of them. So why would you have church services where the point of it is to get the Holy Spirit to come into lives? Why do you do that? What is the point of the so-called second blessings that people who are already believers can have the Holy Spirit? Jesus taught that after His departure, the Holy Spirit would come. And in John 7:37 through 39, it says the Holy Spirit had not yet come because He was not yet glorified. But after His glorification, the Holy Spirit would come upon all. Jesus taught that. It was coming after His time, but He taught that everybody who's a believer would have the Holy Spirit. John 7:37 through 39. Galatians 3:2. Did you receive the Spirit by the works of the law or by hearing with faith? Next verse. Having begun with faith, the Holy Spirit comes at the time of faith. Everybody who believes in Jesus, the Holy Spirit is already inside. The Holy Spirit is already around, indwelling, in baptism. 1 John 4:13, by this we know that we abide in Him because we have the Holy Spirit. And abiding in Him, He defines as whoever confesses Jesus is the Son of God. So whoever says Jesus is the Son of God, it says the Holy Spirit abides within them. Ephesians 4:30 does not talk about indwelling or baptism, but talks about sealing. Sealing, kind of like signed, sealed, and delivered. A Christian is going to get to heaven. They're like a sealed letter. They're going to make it to the end destination. And how many of them have this sealing? All. Every single one. And Romans 8 talks about being sealed until the day of redemption. That is the taking away from the very presence of sin. So how many Christians have the Holy Spirit inside? All believers. How many Christians have the Holy Spirit around or have been baptized into the Holy Spirit? All of them. How many Christians are sealed to be delivered unto their final destination? All of them. There's no reason to mix this up. Verse 13 is not hard. I mean, this is even easier than the tongues study. This is rather easy. And yet you have all kinds of churches whereby the point of the service is to get the Holy Spirit. It doesn't happen every day, but we've had people come to the parking lot. And they can't walk, so they sit out in their car. And they said, I can't get the Holy Spirit, and I can't get over this disability until I get the Holy Spirit. And they said, I don't have the Holy Spirit. Have you trusted in Jesus as Savior? Yes. You have the Holy Spirit. It says so in 1 Corinthians 12:13. To me, the tongues is understandable that they were sign gifts of the apostles. But this is more understandable. This is kind of like, eh. The Holy Spirit was not yet given because Jesus was not yet glorified. He is glorified. He told the apostles to wait in the upper room until the Holy Spirit came. The Holy Spirit came upon Pentecost. The Holy Spirit comes upon all who trust in Him. He is around every believer. He is inside every believer. He has us sealed unto our destination. It's like we're on the way. Relative to Christian living, every believer has the Holy Spirit, and it's important for Christian living. Christian living is more than talking about indwelling and baptism. That's at the time of salvation. Christian living, one way they said it, is walk by the Spirit. That's Galatians 5:16. And 25, walk by the Spirit is kind of like move ahead in your Christian life. Do what God wants you to do. Move ahead, but as you move ahead, you got to walk yourself, but depend upon the power of the Holy Spirit to get in that direction. So I think walk by the Spirit is every believer has the Holy Spirit. Go in the direction He teaches, which is coming soon. He wrote the book. The main commands of the Holy Spirit are in the book He wrote, but there might be more, but there's not less. That's where it begins. Walk in the direction that the Holy Spirit gives power and the Holy Spirit has commanded. Walking by His power is not that hard to understand. Another phrase is be filled with the Holy Spirit. That's Ephesians 5:18. And it sort of makes sense that being filled might be thought of as getting more. On the other hand, being filled in the Bible is also having control, especially when you're talking about something emotional. Filled with anger equals controlled with anger. Filled with jealousy equals controlled with jealousy. So filled with the Holy Spirit is best not taken as getting more and more and more of the Holy Spirit. We have all the Holy Spirit we're going to get when we're believers. But being filled with the Spirit means controlled by the Holy Spirit. Walk by the Holy Spirit means go in the direction of trying to obey the commandments, but depend upon His power to get there. And being filled with the Holy Spirit is being controlled by the Holy Spirit. How does the Holy Spirit control us? Well, it can make some room for some mystical things, but living by the Holy Spirit's control mainly is doing what He says in the book He wrote. The Holy Spirit is the co-author of the Bible. 2 Peter 1:20 talks about the apostles were moved by the Holy Spirit. That's a picture of like a boat in the sails. And humans wrote the Bible, but the Holy Spirit also co-authored the Bible. He pushed the humans in the direction He wanted them to go. It's like they wrote in their own words, in their own style, and they said what God wanted to say, and they have their own words, but the Holy Spirit made sure it was without mistake, and the Holy Spirit made sure it's what He wanted to say. So the Holy Spirit's guidance is mainly in the Bible. And we say walk by the Spirit means go in the direction the Bible teaches. Be filled or be controlled by the Spirit. Well, mostly be controlled by the Bible. Is there more? Yeah. I think there's individual leading. I think there's individual plans, individual will. Go in that direction. But that's after first doing what the Bible teaches. Trying to go in the direction the Bible teaches. That's tier number one of being controlled by the Holy Spirit. Tier number one of walking by the Holy Spirit, walking by the book He wrote. Is there more than that? Yeah, I think so. I think there's individual leading and guidance. But if you have a person that says, I'm not interested in the Bible, they're not getting tier two leading of any kind. If a person is not interested in what the Bible teaches, they're not following the main guidance of the Holy Spirit. They're not following the main leading of the Holy Spirit. Verse 13 is not hard to understand. Every believer has the Holy Spirit on the inside. Every believer has the Holy Spirit around them. Artists like a halo, but He's actually around them, like we were baptized or submerged into the Holy Spirit. Everywhere we go, we have the Holy Spirit. How many? Every last one. Kind of clear. Not a second blessing a long time after salvation. Every last one has the Holy Spirit. Already baptized, already indwelt, if we're believers, already sealed, going to destination. Now, in terms of Christian living, then there is walking by the Spirit, going in the direction that He wrote in His book, controlled or filled by the Spirit, being controlled by the book he wrote. Not hard. It's not hard. Verse 13 is not hard. So then it does make you wonder why sometimes people have church services where they're trying to get the Holy Spirit to come to them and dwell within, when it already teaches he's within all of us already. Now we can continue with other parts of 1 Corinthians 12, and we kind of go back to spiritual gifts. We studied last time, spiritual gifts are for the common good, and that was verse 7, also verse 11, for the common good. Now we're going to have everybody has a spiritual gift, but everybody is still one. We're all united. We've done verse 13. We'll go back to verse 12, and we'll go around it. So we'll do verse 12. For even as the body is one, yet has many parts, members, and all the members or parts of the body, though there are many, are one body, so also is Christ. Verse 14 kind of repeats and then illustrates body parts. Verse 14, for the body is not one member, but many. If the foot says, because I am not a hand, I am not a part of the body, it is not for this reason any less part of the body. If the ear says, because I am not an eye, I am not part of the body, it is not for this reason any less part of the body. In other words, no one should say, I'm not part of the Christianity or part of Christ. Verse 17, if the whole body were an eye, where would the hearing be? If the whole were hearing, where would the sense of smell be? But God has placed the members, each one of them, in the body just as he desired. If they were all one member, where would the body be? But now there are many members, but one body. The eye cannot say to the hand, I have no need of you, or again, the head to the feet, I have no need of you. On the contrary, it's much truer that the members of the body or body parts which seem to be weaker are more necessary. And all those members of the body which we deem less honorable, on these we bestow more honor, and our unseemly members come to have more abundant seemliness, whereas the seemly members have no need of it. But God has so composed the body, giving more abundant honor to the member which lacked. Verse 25, so that there be no divisions in the body, but that the members may have the same care for one another. Well, every person in this church matters. Every person in the church universal, comprised of all believers all over the world, each person matters. God has something for each person to do. And everybody ought to say, that person is important for the work of Christ within our group or within the church of him all over the world. And he goes through all these body parts. He'd like them all to work. The first thing that will go wrong with me is my fingers. They stick all the time. That one does like that. So I got shots for it. Now it moves okay. It'll work for a few years. So he does mention hand. Everybody might have trouble with one thing, and we will say we want all of them to work. Apply to the church. We want every Christian to do his or her work in the church, and every Christian is valuable, and everybody needs everybody else. That's the main point. Thought we'd give a little Greek lesson. Not necessary, but lots of words came over into English, and a lot of them are medical. So body is soma, hand is chiro, like chiropractic, foot is podos, like podiatry, eyes are ophthalmos, like ophthalmology, ear is akua, like acoustics, cephalos is head. For some reason, a lot of them came down into medical, but about 40%. Main point is there be no schisms, no divisions, no splits. Everybody matters. Everyone should care for one another. I put verse 26 aside for a reason. Let's look at verse 26. And if one member suffers, all the members suffer with it. If one member is honored, all the members rejoice with it. Well, both directions, although I'd like to say I think it might be easier to help someone who is suffering than to be happy when something is going very, very good for a person. It might be easier than when something is going very, very good for a person that more common to be jealous or envious. But if someone is having trouble, we sympathize with them and come to their help. The other direction, if somebody is doing good, they probably should keep quiet, but we can be glad for them if we know about it. Romans 12 has a lot of these. Be devoted to one another in brotherly love. Give preference to one another. Rejoicing in hope. Rejoice with those who rejoice. So, alongside those that are suffering, and that we do rejoice with those who rejoice. That I think our church does, but I think it can be harder in the greater world to rejoice with those that rejoice. We have both directions here. Now the close of 1 Corinthians 12, we're back to the spiritual gifts. Although this kind of mentions the position rather than the function. Verse 27. Now you are individually Christ's body. Now you are Christ's body and individually members of it. God has appointed in the church, here's the rank, first apostles, second prophets, third teachers. If they're any good at teaching, teach what the apostles said. Then miracles, then gifts of healing, helps, administrations, various kinds of languages. All are not apostles, are they? All are not prophets, are they? All are not teachers, are they? All are not workers of miracles, are they? All do not have the gifts of healing, do they? All do not speak with languages, do they? All do not interpret, do they? And then we're getting to the love chapter coming next. And verse 31 is kind of an introduction for that. But earnestly desire greater gifts, and I show you a still more excellent way. I mean, love is going to be the greatest commandment. And if there are any gifts, they have to be used with love or they aren't doing any good. So the great virtue is going to be love, coming in chapter 13 next time. Gives us the positions in verse 28. First apostles, second prophets, third teachers. Teachers really ought not to be making up any divine revelation. A teacher would be to teach divine revelation that comes from the apostles and prophets. We have frequently said that there are no more apostles and prophets. Ephesians 2:20 has the apostles and prophets as the foundation of the church. Elsewhere, Christ is the chief cornerstone, but, you know, Jesus is the cornerstone, founding period, apostles and prophets. We're 2,000 years old. We're not in the founding period anymore. There are no more apostles. An apostle had to have seen the risen Jesus. We had that for our scripture reading. Maybe could have picked a better one for Christian living, but it does matter. There are no more apostles, so we would not expect sign gifts for the apostles. Apostles have ceased. We would not expect sign gifts for the apostles. Take healing, for example. Can God heal somebody? Yeah. Shall we pray for somebody to get better? Yeah. Can God do it? Yeah. Healers. Well, they were to confirm the apostles, and the apostles were healers, and the apostles probably could lay hands on some of their co-workers and give it to them. But there are no apostles because an apostle had to have seen the risen Lord. So we would think that there are no more apostles, so we would not think of any sign gifts for apostles. Could God do these miracles? Yeah. But that's different than saying you have a person that can do them. In the Bible, the apostles and miracles overlap all the time. I never plan on us looking them all up, but I will read some for us. Acts 2:43, wonders taking place through the apostles. Acts 5:12, at the hands of the apostles, many signs and wonders were taking place. Acts 14:3-4, verse 3, signs and wonders. Verse 4, the apostles. Hebrews 2:3-4, the Lord's message was confirmed to those that heard him. Confirmed to who? Those that heard him. Nobody alive today was around to see the risen Lord. Nobody around today was around. He could teach them directly. There are no apostles. We would not expect sign gifts. God can do miracles. That's not our business. And God can do things, but that's a little bit different than saying there are miracle workers. And in the Bible, by the way, anybody who attempted to heal, it always worked. There were times when Jesus said, you don't have enough faith, so we're not going to attempt it. But whenever he attempted, it didn't matter whether they had faith or not. The man born blind did not know who Jesus was. Didn't know who he was till afterwards. So it wasn't his faith in Jesus that caused the healing. And he didn't know who Jesus was. And Jesus said, go wash in the pool and you'll be able to see. And he could see. So a genuine healer, whenever they attempted to heal, it always worked. So they wouldn't be people driving up in the church parking lot and saying, I don't have the Holy Spirit. They tried to heal me and it didn't work. That's not the gift of healing. God can heal. That's different than saying that someone has the gift of healing. Confirming the apostles, no more apostles. So this is a rather theological message on 1 Corinthians 12. The main thing, though, is verse 13. The Holy Spirit indwells how many believers? All. The Holy Spirit is around. We're baptized into the Holy Spirit. How many? All. Not a second blessing. The musicians, please come.